So I know we've got a few folks up front praying still, and that's great for them to keep going. I'm going to jump us into our series right now. We're on this Become a Mature idea. And Ephesians chapter 4 starts off with this image of what a church could be. A church could be the fullness of Jesus, as if Jesus himself were here, a group of people united like one person, changing a community, right? But we also know like we're a long way from being that mature. And so the rest of those couple chapters that they talk about, here's some real practical steps about how we treat each other as we get there, right? As we take steps to be mature. So that's what we're talking about each week. It's like, how do we take a step towards being what Jesus wants us to be together? We don't do it by ourselves, right? Jesus always wants to work through us as a group, right? So today, I'm excited because we're going to be talking about something that we all need some work on, myself included, right? So Christy's smiling right now. She knows what I'm going to talk about. But so here's our next slide. What we all have, I got this picture of this guy getting ready to say something, I think, coming up. So the thing we all struggle with is we've all said something probably in the last week, probably in the last hour even, that if we were fully like Jesus, it would have come out of our mouth differently, right? Like, for me, like, it was hard this week preparing for this sermon as I continued to make mistakes or think back and be like, oh, I should have said that differently. Or even last night with my kids, like, my kids can bring out the worst out of my mouth sometimes, right? And how many of us can think, like, yes, lots of struggles with what comes out of my mouth, right? And then the rest of you are all liars, right? Like, everybody didn't raise their hand, right? So, I mean, we all have a lot to work on, right? So, but I definitely do too, right? Like, last night, sometimes God wants me to change a sermon on Saturday night. Last night, I wanted to change this sermon, right? Like, I felt like God wouldn't let me. Because it's like, I am not good enough at this to preach about it. So we're going to get, like, lessons from right beside you in the foxhole, right? Like, I'm struggling too. But here's our verse. We got one key verse to focus on. We got some other passages we'll go to too. But the high bar that gets set for how Christians are supposed to talk says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. None. But only what is, what does it say there? Helpful for building, what does it say? Others up according to their, what does it say? Needs that it may, what does it say? Benefit those who listen. Now, that last little part some of us like, right? If people would just listen to me, they would be so much better, right? Like some of us have that idea. But the truth is, sometimes it's good that people don't listen to what Jake says, right? Sometimes they're better off for not doing the thing that came out of my mouth. The idea here is that you be the type of person that nothing unhealthy, like not just nothing illegal, not just nothing factually a lie, like nothing that's even a little bit unhealthy would come out of your mouth. Totally wholesome. And as hard as that immediately seems, then it goes even further of like, you can't just talk right in a general way. You have to consider who the people are you're talking to. And what Lance needs is going to be different than what April needs, different than what Precious needs, right? Like different all around, right? The whole room. And so our words should actually help build people up. If you've ever built anything, you know, sometimes it's firm. Sometimes you got to mold stuff together, right? It doesn't mean everything's soft and gentle. But also when you build stuff, it's different than when you tear stuff down. If you've ever been around people on like a wrecking day or their demo day, they typically have like pretty blunt, heavy stuff. And it's kind of like, we only need a couple tools no matter what we're facing. When you're destroying something, you don't have to adapt very much to whatever it is you're destroying. But when you're building something, people have a whole set of crazy tools, right? Because there's a lot of different like nuance that goes into what each part is going to need to fit together, right? There's a lot of thought. It's not as fast. Think about your speech that way, right? Are you handling people in your family or at the Maple House or wherever you're at? Are you handling it like it's demo day, right? And you're like, I got my sledgehammer, right? Like, I'm ready. Or are you handling it like a carpenter, right? Like, what's the grain of this thing? I'm going to change because of the type of person this is. I need to present it this way. I need to go slow. I mean, for me, a lot of times I can make big strides on this just by talking less, right? Like, if I just, like, I talk half as much, like, there's a lot less mistakes, right? But the truth is, you just start jumping into this and actually trying to build people up according to their needs. If you really try to live this verse out, it doesn't take long to realize you're in over your head. Like, people that think that they're doing pretty good typically haven't tried to do, like, totally good. When you really shoot for, like, the bar that Jesus sets, you start to realize, like, how far you have to go, right? It opens your eyes, is what George MacDonald will say, right? Like, obedience opens our eyes. And one of the things that opens our eyes to is, like, how far we have to go. There's a great Sunday school class. I have to mention it. Wayne's leading it, but you can jump in, I think, midstream. It's on this verse. And it's actually got a lot of really good information. If you're in here today and you're like, I really just don't even know how to talk to people in a way that actually builds them up, that understands where they're coming from. But I want to give you a much quicker, I don't have as much time as Wayne has, so I'm going to give you a quicker idea from John Tyson. I felt like this was really good advice, better than I had to give you. So here's from John Tyson. He's a pastor in New York. He says, we know everything about which we can do nothing about, and almost nothing about which we can do everything about. He goes on to explain what he's talking about. Next slide. He says, we have opinions about politics and doctrine and sports teams and the lives of celebrities. Yet we often fail to notice the tension in our spouse's eyes, learn our neighbor's names, or see the stress of our coworkers. We're going to leave that slide up for a second. So what John Tyson is talking about here is, like, it's really easy to, like, flip with your phone or with your thumb and learn all sorts of stuff about what's going on in the world, or even that there's, like, crazy civil war stuff happening in Congo, or, like, whatever stuff you're looking up, right? But then we don't know what's really happening where we actually have the ability to do something with Jesus. Like, whatever's happening more than 100 miles away, probably God doesn't have a calling on you today to fix those problems, but probably the people that sleep within 100 feet of you, like, they're probably much more in the range of where God wants you to do something today. Sometimes God does call people, right, to do things on a national scale or a worldwide scale. Like, that can happen. But if you know tons of stuff about people you never talk to, you got to wonder, like, am I focusing on the right things? Do I know what my middle schooler got upset about at school this week, right? Or what my high schooler is excited about? Or what the guy that is in the same bunk, right, with me, like, something that he's afraid of, or something that makes him feel disrespected, right? Do I know any of these, like, trigger things for anybody in my life, good or bad? If you don't know what's really happening in the people you're close to, it's really pretty impossible to live out the Ephesians verse, right? Here's the thing about, like, when we come to the Bible and we come to God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit inside of us convicting us, he'll set these standards. It's like, you can't just try to be nice on the side and live up to these standards, right? Like, if your words are going to build other people up according to their needs, it's going to take some time to figure out what on earth their needs are, right? So here's what John Tyson, here's his little, like, tip. LOVER is the acronym he uses, here's this kind of five things. If you're a note taker, here's your chance to shine, right? Like, here's the things, right? He says, here's what you should do with your relationships. Even if you just picked one relationship this week, maybe your kid, or maybe somebody at your work, maybe a neighbor that you feel like is in need, say, start with listening to them. Right off the bat, you're doing better with your speech if you've listened to the person first, right? Observe means, like, pay attention. Like, how does their face look? Sometimes people will tell us stories, and their face will tell us a lot, but if you're looking at your phone, like, you can't tell that, right? Or even when someone else says something, have you ever been at dinner paying attention to people and somebody else says something and you see, like, a grimace flash across somebody's face? Like, if you notice that, like, that's real information. Like, pay attention, like, that person was hurt by what just got said in some way, right? So you watch what's happening. It's not quite the stalking badge, right? But, like, but the kind of a little bit of, like, pay attention, right? Value. A lot of marriages are fixed right away with just this one, right? Like, just value the person you want to have a better relationship with. If they're into something nerdy or ridiculous or whatever, like, just give it some sort of, like, a Yes, I'll listen to you, right? I've got a dad that inspires me in our church, whose daughter was super into some stuff from Japan, and he would like pay attention to it, right? Even though I know this guy well enough to know like he does not like this stuff at all, right? But he'll be in it because he cares about his kid, right? That's value, right? You just give him some attention. You give attention to somebody like you're valuing them, right? Encourage. We can all put our foot in our mouth. Sometimes encouraging somebody's the wrong thing to do, right? Like they're actually making a bad choice and you shouldn't like be their co-signer, right? But most of us, it's a lot safer zone than criticism, right? More often than not, you're right to encourage somebody, right? The final one is respond, right? If you really think like, man, I've listened, I've observed, I've given them some value, I've given them some encouragement, but they, you know, Joseph really does need to change in some way or whatever, right? Like, well, then go and respond in that way, right? Like, we probably have all had somebody tell us we're wrong in a way that changed our life. Like, those are not super often, maybe, that we can receive it and they gave a good message. But honestly, you've probably had some time where you're like, that person really loved me enough to come and tell me I was wrong. You could be that sort of a person for Jesus, right? Like, we're full of opportunities, right? At Baywood, of like people who are doing everything perfect, myself included, right? So, but we need people who put in the time to be able to be a good mouthpiece for the Holy Spirit, right? Okay. So the daily, weekly little blanks there. What if every day you prayed about your kids? Every day you prayed about your spouse. You prayed about a neighbor, right? Like I was talking to a guy in small group the other day, and he's got a neighbor who's in his 80s, and he tries to check on this guy because he's kind of in a depressed zone of life, living by himself. So, like, pray about the person that God's laid on your heart. Pray about them each day and try to pay attention. Like, what are their needs? And then weekly, do a little bit of a review, right? A little bit of like, what happened with them this week? When were they happy? When were they sad? When did they seem super stressed out? You're trying to study that person so you can speak something into them that's life-giving, right? Now, as you get better with one person, especially somebody you see every day, you can start to train up to be better with just people you meet in general. As you get hearing from the Holy Spirit about one person and you see it play out and it's fruitful, you can kind of learn how to do this with more and more people, right? But start with somebody you're close to. Start with somebody you care about. These are good kind of steps to learn, right? So here's the problem you're going to run into, because I tried a little bit of this week, and I prayed a little journal about Chrissy and Sequoia and Samuel. That's my immediate family, you know, at home. And then yesterday, like, I just feel like, man, some gunk came out of me, right? So I got this image. Chrissy actually taught me this. She used to teach this to elementary kids, and it taught me a lesson. But she'd take a tube of toothpaste to elementary kids, and she'd squeeze the toothpaste out, right? And what comes out when you squeeze the tube of crust, right? Toothpaste, right? Whatever toothpaste is inside, it comes out. Kids, for me, maybe there's somebody else in your life that does this, right? But it squeezes out. Like, I might be polite to everybody all day long, might be respectful to everybody all day long, and then, like, the most vulnerable people in my life who I have the most responsibility to, they're the ones that get the worst out of me sometimes, right? So, maybe I'm the only person like that, right? but stuff gets stressful, and what squeezes sometimes is pretty terrible. And you can run from that and think like, oh, that person's a jerk, or it's all that person's fault. But the truth is, like, that shows you that stuff was in you, it just happened to come out then, right? And here's the hard truth is, like, as Christians, we can't just say, I don't have to try anymore because Jesus has forgiven me. But when we try, we start to see how much gunk's inside of us, right? And the mouth is, I mean, James talks about, like, if you can control your tongue, like, you're golden, right? Nothing else is going to be hard for you, because this one's really challenging, right? So here's what Jesus says about the stuff inside of us. Here's why speech is so hard. Jesus says a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And if you're paying a lot of attention to me, you're like, I can see, Jake, why you, after being mean to your kids, you didn't want to preach the sermon on Saturday night. You're like, this is not a fun verse to say, right? And you're like, why does that come out of me then, right? But running from it doesn't get us anywhere, right? As Christians, we are called to obey Jesus, to give our all, to try as hard as we can to obey, and we're going to fail a whole lot. And when we fail, it's not like a stop trying because it hurts to fail. It's actually a Jesus, I need your forgiveness and I need your help. Okay? And on Facebook Live this morning, I put up a little quote from C.S. Lewis on Maywood's page, but it was this idea of sometimes we try as hard as we can to get better, and we ask God for help, and we feel like we don't get enough help. Has anybody ever struggled with some sort of problem in your life that you're ashamed of, but you're like, I asked God to help, but I just don't feel like I got enough help, and I'm still struggling? I'll leave the liar joke where we were earlier, but here's the thing C.S. Lewis helped me clue into on that, is that more important than fixing whatever random thing we're ashamed of that day is getting us trained to be the type of person who doesn't give up, but as soon as we mess up, we ask for forgiveness and we try again. Okay? And that's hard as an adult. I'm going to tell you a little story about me as a kid. Sometimes when stuff's hard as an adult, you think like, oh, how did I handle that sort of a thing when I was a kid? So I got this picture of when I was a little kid, Super Nintendos were out, but my family had an original Nintendo. And a lot of original Nintendo games have this idea of like fail and be expected to just try again, right? Like that was the basic premise of most games. And I can remember this Mega Man 2 game had this lava level thing where you'd have to jump from box to box to box, but the boxes would disappear and be in a random pattern. And underneath them was lava that instantly killed you, right? And as a kid, I had this faith that it was possible to do this thing that seemed impossible, that even though I was going to fail a whole bunch, I was going to get a little better, right? You'd get so far and get to a new screen and there's more invisible blocks, I'd have no hope of actually getting there. I'm just trying to learn more so I can memorize it, so I can get through it eventually. When it comes to your speech, you actually would do well to be like Jake with Mega Man 2. Like, you're not going to do perfect on your speech this week. Like, you're going to crash and burn in the lava, right? Like, I mean, you're going to fail, right? But do you have the faith that this stuff's in the Bible not to just make us feel bad about ourselves? It's there because Jesus wants to take us on a journey to be a different person, right? And if you keep trying to build people up with your words, it's going to drive you to have a relationship with Jesus like you don't have right now. Because you're going to fail, and you're going to sometimes be like, I'm so bad. But then you're going to spend more time with Jesus. And he's going to forgive you and encourage you that he loves you even though you failed. And then even when you've been doing really good and you feel great about yourself, you're going to see like, man, I slipped up even when I was doing great and everything was going my way. And you realize like you can't trust yourself even on your best days, right? That's what C.S. Lewis says, right? Like, which that's good, right? Like to know that Jesus loves you and accepts you, and to not trust your own ability to handle even an average day. That's actually a really healthy spiritual place. But how do we get there? We get there by trying to obey, and when we fail, we ask Jesus to forgive us and help us to try again. And we keep doing it and doing it and doing it, right? So I want to close with a great passage of Scripture. This is some promises from Jesus, right? C.S. Lewis gave us some of the practical side, but Jesus gives us this like love and power. And that's why I put C.S. Lewis on Facebook, I put this on a real sermon, right? So when Jesus is getting ready to die, for all of us, he has a conversation with his closest friends. And the conversation isn't, hey, say a few things about believing in me, and then we don't have to ever talk again, and I'll see you in heaven, right? I mean, like, that's not the conversation. The conversation is, even though you're not going to see me with your physical eyes anymore, I want to have a relationship with you. There's all this hope, even though most of those guys he's talking to are about to fail him in the next 6 hours, right? And even though we're going to all walk out of here, and this week I know I'm going to mess up in some way, and my guess is we're all going to mess up in some way. But these words from Jesus, it's not just about say some prayers, it's about obey. Is going to trying to obey, at least, is going to open us up to a relationship with Jesus. Like, if you don't have the relationship with Jesus you want, a relationship that motivates you, that gives purpose to your life, you need this dynamic of I'm really trying as hard as I can to do what Jesus said, And I'm leaning on Jesus because I fail a lot, right? So here's what Jesus says. Here's how he describes it. It's in John 14, if you want to turn there. John 14, verse 23. A disciple had just asked Jesus, like, how come you're not going to show yourself to everybody? And honestly, like, Jesus wants to have a relationship with every single person. But people that won't do things to be close to Jesus, like, their eyes are closed. Like, they can't see him. But here's what Jesus says. Jesus replies, anyone, doesn't matter your color of skin, doesn't matter who you voted for, anyone who loves me, Jesus himself is talking about, will obey my teaching. My Father, talking about God in heaven, will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. I'm going to pause here for a minute. There's a lot of people that if I came to you as pastor and was like, hey, can you help this guy? He needs something. And it involved like 15 minutes or less than $20. Like, a lot of you would be like, sure, happy to help. Even if it was something really extreme, way more time, you might want to help. But if I came to you and was like, hey, this person needs help and they need to come and live with you, most of us, even really great people, are going to be like, like, I'm not up for that, right? I mean, that's why there's so many foster kids that need help, right? Because, like, we know there's good kids out there. We want them to get help, but it's such a huge thing to come and live with somebody, right? It's not even always healthy, right, for us to get that level of help, right? Like, we might not have the strength ourselves to be able to help somebody like that. But that's what Jesus and God the Father is offering to us. Like, they want to come into all the mess of our life and experience it right up close. They want to have even their name probably get mud thrown on it because of our failures, right? I mean, like, they want so close to us with all the mess that that entails. And obedience isn't about because you feel guilty or because you're a goody-two-shoe or because you're afraid. Obedience is about, like, I want to take steps because it opens my heart to Jesus. And hopefully you saw that with your words. Like, this week, failing with my words sometimes, of being aware of what the Bible said, it drove me to pray more, to try to spend more time with Jesus, because I realized, like, I can't hack it on my own. Right? And that's the proper response, right? Is, like, to try, and if it works out, we have this experience of working with Jesus. But even if it doesn't work out, we have this experience of coming home to Jesus, right? I'm going to read on. It's a little bit further. It gets into some more promises here. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. It's easy to say, Jesus, I love you, but the proof is in, like, what do we do? These words you hear are not my own. This isn't just coming from Jesus. They belong to the Father who sent me, right? Like, Jesus means what he says, right? Verse 25. All this I've spoken while I was with you, physically with you, is what he's talking about here. Verse 26. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. So here we have this, the Trinity. Sometimes we have a hard time understanding God, and that's because that's okay. Like, God's more than us, right? But here we see it playing out in relationship with us. Like, the Father loves us and wants a relationship with us. Jesus and God want to come and live inside of us. And practically speaking, how does that work? It's through the Holy Spirit inside of us. And the Holy Spirit's here to teach us everything and to remind us of the stuff we don't have the best memories, right? But Jesus has taught you a lot of stuff, and it's going to come in handy. And if you'll listen to the Holy Spirit, he'll remind you of what you need to know, right? Okay, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. I'm going to pause us there for a minute. We've all been given something by somebody, and sometimes we get, like, manipulated or whatever, blah, blah, blah. I don't think that's exactly what Jesus is talking about here. I've had people really try to show up for me, but because this is, like, a broken world where people die or where stuff gets robbed, or, I mean, like, sometimes even with the best intentions, people can't come through. They don't have the strength, even if they have the goodness, right? Jesus has the goodness and the strength to come through. Like, when he says, I give you peace, if you don't have peace, it's not because of him, right? Like, when I don't have peace inside of me, I've closed off to it or ignored it or separated myself from Jesus in some way. He has the love and the power to deliver like no other promise you've ever been given from somebody else. And then he says, don't let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. We're going to have trouble in this world. He talks about that to his disciples, right? But on the inside, it doesn't have to be all trouble in here. It doesn't have to be fear in here. And when you start trying to obey Jesus, it's the inside, the doubts, the fears, that's what's going to hang you up. But if you're walking around full of peace from Jesus, it gets easier to talk slower. It gets easier to listen and observe and value. And then when you do speak, you think like, they're not going to like this, but I know Jesus wants me to say it, so I can say it in love, even if I get rejected. Right? Like, there's a difference to our speech when that's on the inside. But like me with my kids yesterday, like if you're a pastor or whatever, doesn't mean you're walking around perfect. We're all going to need to keep going back to Jesus and saying, I need your help. There's other areas of your life, same sort of pattern. Whatever sin you're really struggling with right now, a lot of the roots of it are the same. Like, will you try to obey Jesus? Not try to live up to Independence PD or whatever. Like, not try to live up to a worldly standard. Will you try to live up to Jesus' standard? Because Jesus will help you if you're shooting for that. And Jesus will have a relationship with you if you're shooting for that. And it's in the relationship with Jesus that we become different. And we have each other, right? If we're not in it alone, Jesus is not going to fix this by ourselves. But we're going to have a chance in this room to say, like, I messed up, I'm sorry. We're also going to have a chance in this room to interact with people that are hard for us to interact with. And online, if you're watching online too, right? And that's going to be good for us, right? Like, Jesus has made every single person we're ever going to meet. He loves them. And he wants us to talk to them in a way that doesn't grieve his spirit, right? So I'm going to pray over us. I'm going to pray a blessing. At the end, we've been ending with this same blessing, but it's about the Trinity coming and helping us. And so if you want to open your hands up to this, I'm going to pray this over us. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Go in peace.